welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 326. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up? I'm excited about today.
I am excited about today, too. But someone else who is excited but not joining us is Jason Astracker. He is out celebrating. And
he's excited for other reasons.
He's excited for other reasons that we will get to at a later date. In his place, we have Mr. Travis Baum.
Hi.
Joining the show
once
again.
That's why I'm excited.
You should be excited. It's been a long time since the three of us have been on the air together. Yeah.
Today, we are talking about genre fatigue. Before that, we're going to do distractions and news. And then afterwards, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But before that, we're going to start with Travis. Because it's been a while. And we need to know.
It has been
a while.
Here in Charleston, we call it a hot minute. Yeah, so that's
the
first
thing. Yeah, but you called it that when you lived in Grayson, too.
Yes. Not so hot, Lana. No, so yeah, I guess the last time I was on this show, I was still living near you, Chris. And
true.
Actually, mm-hmm. I'm much further away, about 5 hours away here in sunny, beautiful Charleston, South Carolina. We love it here. It's great. It's really
good.
Nice.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah, we actually weren't too shocked. There's actually a lot of stuff to do around here because we know in Atlanta, like, concerts were our biggest thing to go to. And in Atlanta, every single tour that goes through the Atlanta area. I mean, every tour period goes through the Atlanta area. That's what I'm trying
to say.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little bit slim pickings in Charleston, but we've just had really, really good luck. We just saw local natives. We've seen Aziz Ansari, Dave Chappelle. We just recently saw Bastille, who puts on a phenomenal show. So we're getting a chance to like do some really cool stuff. So we're loving it here. It's been about 10 months. We moved in July, I believe. Yes, no, maybe. Anyway.
Sure.
But close enough, right? And we're just happy here. It's good. It's really happy. And a lot of life changes have happened since then. No longer at GameStop, obviously. The bills are paid back with Sonic Drive-In, doing pretty well there. But hopefully future bills.
You are a man of habit, aren't you?
quite. Well, when you're good at something, might as well stick with it.
Yep.
I knew I shouldn't have stopped man-whoring. So
I told you not to.
That's right. So one of the big changes was, and this is the first time I've actually had a chance to speak about it on a podcast, is that I created a new, independent gaming dev studio.
And that's cool.
It's very cool. It's very, very stressful. I've heard
it only
many
imagine.
Times. I've heard it many a times on podcasts and such. Especially when we would interview developers.
Yeah.
There would be this situation where, like, you know, we would always ask them, "What's distracting you?" And every person would spout out a couple of games here and there, but
most of the
they would
time,
always say the
like,
same thing.
Yeah,
they would say, "Well, I'm so busy making games, I don't have time to play games." And I got to tell you guys, all right, don't even worry about that. That shit is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Like, okay, so I'm still finding time to play games, but
not much.
Not as much time. But in time is not really a factor because now I'm doing shit that's making me not enjoy the experience. In the past, especially on Indus, I've always mentioned, you know, characters, story, you know, of course, graphics and stuff has always been a big part of it. But now, like, I chalk it up to game development that I didn't enjoy Infamous Second Son as much as I thought I would. I still liked it.
Oh, really?
But I didn't feel that I got as much because I was way too critical. I wouldn't just get absorbed in the world and just go and play. I would look for stuff and I would actually look on a technical side. I would stop saying I am no longer Delson Rowe. I'm a guy who wants to make at least a decent video game.
Can I tell you something, Travis?
Sure.
As a programmer, you need to get over that shit, dude. You just need to look past it because you will never enjoy games again. I had a time when I did the same thing. And you just gotta get past it, man. You gotta push past
it. It almost feels like, I like reading comments on websites. I like to see what people are saying. And I feel that it's the same situation. Like, you have to either get over that or just stop doing it. Like, if you're a big reviewer on a big website, like IGN or something like that, like, I'm pretty sure those guys just try to tell themselves nonstop, okay, after I write a review, do not read the comments. Don't touch the comments. Don't look at anything.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, don't
that's
look
right.
And
that's right.
I just gotta start to, you know, let that go because Yeah.
Oh, so you start doing one game and you're automatically, criticizing the big guns.
I'm not criticizing big guns. I'm just saying that it's an issue. I would like to not have an issue because
yeah,
I want to
enjoy
my games.
A friend of mine did the same thing. He was in, Rutson. He was in game development for a long time and he just got it. He's like, he can't even enjoy games anymore to the point where he's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
It's hard, but you got to get past it. It's like, I still, you know, yes, it's a little different for me because I'm not a game developer, but I still know a lot about the technical side of that shit. So when I first started getting into this stuff, and I still do sometimes get real critical about how things work, but I'm able to move past it because that's not the primary field. However, when I go to websites and there's a website that doesn't work, fuck if I don't like tear it to shreds. It's like, this is like the worst website I have ever. What are you doing? Why would you do this? Oh, I am really bad about that. So,
are you talking about the city of Toronto's website?
Pretty terrible. Well, dude,
it's really bad. It's
like pretty much anything hosted in Toronto is,
yeah. Yeah, I'm not gonna argue that.
So that's pretty much it for me. It's just Palmetto Game Studios is just consuming my world. Which is a good thing. It's a good thing. The day it stops consuming it before a game comes out, that's the bad thing. So
that would be a bad thing.
Yeah, that would be the bad thing. So I guess we'll pass it along to G off. What is up, man? I missed
not
you.
Much. Missed you too, man. What the fuck did I do last weekend? I can't. Oh, one of my good friends' wedding last week. My friend Derek, or we call him Espo.
They got married.
Short. Yeah, he did.
I met
him.
Them,
and,
yeah.
Him and Tash tied the old knot last weekend. So at a nice wedding, they rented out a restaurant, one of their favorite restaurants, and had, it was about 150 people or so. And,
that's
kind of a
pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is
pretty big.
And considering it's like, it was very not your traditional wedding. They didn't have like any kind of bridal party or anything like that. They didn't even wear like a tux or like a big bridal dress thing. It was actually kind of cool and kind of laid back. And it was actually a lot of fun. So it was a good time, from what I can remember. And then it was a long weekend for us last week. So Sunday was kind of a write off. And I think Monday I just chilled, played games or whatever. Yeah, I didn't do too much. And then there was all work this week, which is definitely not developing a game. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that, as far away opposite as you could possibly do.
Right.
Or fun.
Or fun.
And,
it's not fun sometimes. I got news for you. No, it's not fun sometimes.
Well, I'm sure it isn't.
I gotta say, I apologize. I haven't had a chance to talk to you yet because I know the pain one goes through, but I apologize about the Raptors. I was rooting for them.
Thank you. I was
Brooklyn.
We didn't record for that entire time the Raptors were in the playoffs, and then I came back. It's like, hey, playoffs started, Raptors are in it, and they're out again already.
Yeah, after that last play, my jaw was in my lap. I was like, I cannot believe that just happened. It was ridiculous. I'm sorry I brought it back. Now you can.
No, that's
terrible.
Fine. Next year, I mean, they did well this season.
Yeah, thanks, Travis. He was over it last week.
Brooklyn. But actually, no, I'm actually watching that. I just happen to have it on NBA TV right now, and they're actually replaying game one with the Raptors and Brooklyn Nets. So it was already brought back all the way back. But yeah, that's about it, man. Week's been pretty fucking normal as hell, I guess. Chris?
My shitty weeks continue, so I'm not going to go into it. The one positive that I had all week is that I actually got a chance to go to a dance recital for my niece, who is now 5 years old. My niece, Evie. Her name is actually Guinevere, and we call her Evie. But that was a good time with...
She's not the fat girl, is she?
What? No.
Because every time you go to like a dance recital for kids, there's always the one fat kid.
I want somebody to go through every episode of Indus. It's going to only take a few minutes to do this. Go through every episode of Indus. Every single time someone mentions a girl, hey, there was this girl at work, or hey, I met this girl today, the first thing Jeff is going to say is she hot or is she fat? Every single time. Go back to any Indus every time a girl is mentioned.
That's probably true.
I would say that you were right about 99% of the time on that one. that was a good time with the in-laws, and you know, Crystal's parents have been fantastic for me with this in the past few weeks with all the things that are going on. So I really appreciate that from them. But we ended up going to we went to the recital, and then afterwards we hit, where did we go for dinner? We went to California Pizza Kitchen. So
that is delicious pizza.
It is. It is. I actually still have some. I'm about to go snack on it. Yeah. After this is over.
People who are listening to this, if they have not had California Pizza Kitchen,
why have
you
I not
have
had
one,
that?
If you have, well, maybe because you're in, it's not Toronto pizza. It's not
I've been to, Atlanta many times.
It's not the Poutine Pizza Palace. It's like, it's,
there is better pizza out there, but California Pizza Kitchen has very unusual, like they're famous for like their barbecue chicken pizza. You know, and it's pretty fantastic.
I like that spinach margarita. That's my favorite.
The one that I use is the one that I get now is the, what is it? The, Meat Cravers, which has got like, it's like salami and what? Yeah, a lot of vegetables.
What a
lot of vegetables on it. It's got, but like salami, pepperoni, sausage, ham, cabagol, just lots of different, you know, Italian
meats.
Very, very good. But yeah, so we did that and, had a couple beers and then stole the check, which I don't often get to do for my in-laws. and my sister-in-law was there too. And my sister-in-law she, thank God she divorced the guy that she was with. She has a boyfriend right now who's really, really cool guy. His name is Grant, and he faces the same dilemma that I do. He never gets to pay when he goes out with the in-laws. So I basically I went and I grabbed the check and I went ahead and paid for it. And, you know, my father-in-law was sitting at the table like, what the hell just happened? And Grant turns around and he goes, and on our way out, he goes, and thanks for dinner. And I said, and then Amy, my sister-in-law was like, and thanks for showing him how to pay. And he goes, that's right. The hammer's been thrown. And I'm like, hey, whatever, yeah, man. It's seriously, it's a challenge to actually pay for your own meal when you go out with my in-laws.
Right.
So it's one of those things. It's like, I can count. So I've been together. Okay. So I've been with Crystal. This year it will be 10 years that I've been with Crystal. I can count the number of times that I've been able to pay my own bill or the bill when we go out to eat on my two hands.
Really?
Yeah. Pretty much.
See, I'm always picking up the check. I need better friends. Wow. Or at least wealthier friends. I want a friend with a boat.
I'm on a boat.
If anybody who listens is in a trial scenario and you have a boat, let's be friends.
Let's be friends.
Totally be best friends.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. This weekend, we have a couple of, child birthday parties that should be, entertaining. And then Memorial Day is on Monday. So, yeah, it is what it is. And, that's all there is to it. So let's move on and talk about some games.
Video games.
Vidya games. Travis, you have any Vidya games you're playing?
Okay, have any of you guys gotten to the PlayStation Now beta?
I have, and actually I meant to talk about that last week, and I completely forgot.
Did you mess around with it, though?
I did, yes.
How much does that shit not work?
Really? Are you having trouble? Because I am. I have been really impressed, actually.
Really?
Yes.
I have not. I actually pay more. My cable company's terrible, and their charges for like extra, you know, extra power and extra oomph in your internet. Right. It's like, I'm running great speeds.
So what's your speed then? What's your speed?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know. You want me to do a speed test real quick?
Sure.
No.
Go do speed tests.
Not that. The fact is, one person, just explain what your experience is versus Chris's.
Okay.
I'm sure your internet connection isn't that.
Thing that I haven't tried yet. I'm still running great speeds on wireless, but there's one thing I haven't tried yet, and I think it will be the ultimate fix. Hopefully it will be the ultimate fix, is that I'm running wireless and I need to swap it over to a wired connection.
That is very accurate. Mm-hmm. You need to do that.
But my PlayStation 4 is I like to have the better technology plugged in, you know, so I can get the optimum speed.
Well,
but
they just sent out the beta codes for the PlayStation 4. Did you get one of those?
I didn't get one of those yet. Why is it
on PS3?
Yeah, the initial beta was on PS3.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, after that, they basically, what was it, like last week or maybe earlier in this week, where they said that, you know, the PS4 is opening up, so if you've already signed up for the PS3, Did they say you need to sign up for the PS4? Like re-sign up?
Well, no, you don't re-sign up for it, but they send you a separate code.
They do send. Okay, so did you get a separate code for the 4 yet?
Yeah, I got my separate code.
I did not. Mine was only for PS3. So
okay.
The day before I got my PS3 code, I went ahead because I noticed that I didn't get a thing yet. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I need to just go ahead and reapply or re-register for it. So I re-registered, and like 6 hours later, I got the email saying my beta code's ready. But when I re-registered, it was for the 4, but then I got a PlayStation 3 code. It was weird. It was kind of weird how that happened. I guess I didn't win the lottery that day. And
well, no. Okay, so to be clear, they just started sending out the PS4 codes. The okay. PS3 ones have been going out for a long time.
Okay. So today, Thursday, hopefully by the time this airs, I could have that, and maybe I can test it out.
Today's
so,
Friday.
Well, today Friday?
Yeah, today's Friday.
All my days are jumbled together. So my experience wasn't too good. I tried on, you know, peak hours, middle of the night, you know, or when I woke up this morning, I woke up at around 8 o'clock. So I jumped up, tried it, still didn't work. I tried Dead Island Riptide. I tried a couple other games, and it's just after about 10, 15 minutes, it just lost connection.
Hmm.
So it's not been the happiest experience for me, but you said that you are having a good experience.
So, I mean, I'll be honest. I have not played a ton of stuff, but what I have played, has been relatively successful. I've tried 3 games. I tried, Nights into Dreams. I tried, Blaze Blue, the first one. And I also tried, and I don't remember if this is Retrograde. It's like the rhythm game where it's actually a shooter going backwards. Have you guys seen that?
I've seen that, yeah.
Okay. So the first game I played was Knights. And that was not the best of experiences. So the video is really twitchy. Like it's like the service is actually trying to anticipate what you're going to do next. And if you do something different, it like the screen starts to flicker a little bit. And it just was not the greatest of experiences.
Was there like bad button latency with that title as well?
There was some button latency, but it was especially obvious when you were doing like, when you were actually fighting things where, you know, how like he would grab onto the enemy and he spins around and then you can dash through the enemy and that's how you attack them. Well, there's like that one where, you have to actually attack at a certain point so that the enemy flies and hits a wall and breaks it. Well, that was very difficult because you actually had to press the button before he got to where he needed to go because you had to anticipate the lag.
Yeah.
So it was very, very noticeable that there was some lag, especially on those parts. But, you know, the game was playable. So I'm not going to down it, but it's just that particular game for some reason. I don't know why, but that particular game did not work very well on PlayStation Now. Blaze Blue was fucking flawless. I couldn't believe it. I was like, outside of like some artifacting here and there with the video because it's streaming it over the wire. I mean, I like all the moves were coming out. All the combos were coming out. You know, I was able to do like all the stuff that I was trying to do with like, I was using Noelle mostly because she's pretty easy to just pick up and play.
And she's sexy too.
That too. But I was really impressed because this is a fighting game and it's based on like quick twitch movements and it didn't seem like there was any button lag. I'm sure there was a little bit and there was more latency than like if you were playing, you know, sitting side by side with someone. But I have, you know, one of the things that I thought about is like, well, this game was created with online play in mind. So maybe that's helping it. You know, it's very possible that because that was made in mind, that it's a little bit more attuned to something that we would use.
Are you able to play online matches that way?
I didn't try. You are able to play online matches. I did not try it, though.
And another interesting little piece of information about our different experiences, also the main games that I tried were, I would say probably more graphically in terms of processors, be more intensive of games. Like I tried Dead Island Riptide.
Yeah, I didn't try
Saints
that.
Row, that shouldn't really matter, though.
Saints Row the Third and everything.
It shouldn't matter because you're still sending the same amount of over the wire.
Video,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because you're still, they're still compressing that into like some sort of motion JPEG or something.
It would take a little bit more power, a little bit more bandwidth, because these are fairly large open world games. But
you have to understand, all it's sending over the wire is the video. It's sending it is the video and the audio. So it's still just sending a 720p image with the audio on it. So it doesn't matter. And that's the point of it all. And that's why that's why they're saying it's coming to TVs and it's coming to this and it's coming to that, because it doesn't matter, because the server's doing all the processing.
Right.
And it's all it's doing is it's sending you a video, you know? And that's really the only thing. So
But wouldn't there be, say you're playing BitTrip Runner or Saints Row the Third, okay? Two completely different games, as probably about as far as you can get between games. And you're going to say that server is not going to have to put out a little bit more muscle power to...
It's still running on a PS3. I mean, it's you know, it's all it's doing is that it's running on a PS3 and it's feeding the video to a stream.
The video back.
Okay. Yeah. I feel you.
It's like Twitch streaming. Like, you can have the shittiest computer ever as long as it can run Twitch, but you can get people fucking Twitch, like Star, what's that fucking ridiculous game that looks retardedly good? That PC, it's like kickstarted. Anyway, I should use a different fucking game's example. No, Star Citizen.
Star Citizen.
Yeah, they can still stream that and it'll look fucking awesome as long as your computer can like run the Twitch. It doesn't necessarily mean your computer has to run Star Citizen.
That makes more sense when you explain it that way, for sure. But so far it wasn't it didn't leave a great first impression.
I would be
second
surprised
impression
it was
for
the
me.
Wireless thing.
It could be. That's my next thing I'm going to try out. Yeah.
Cause I mean, you're definitely, you know, without a doubt, you're going to get better latency and you're going to get a better, frame rate, out of the video too. So.
Truth. So, the other things I've been playing, Fallout New Vegas. I've probably plugged in about,
back.
15 hours. Well, okay. The first time when that game first came out, I'm sorry, it was utterly unplayable. Yeah, just couldn't play it.
Well, I
whatsoever.
Mean, it is made by Bethesda, so.
And it was Obsidian, actually, right?
That's right. Bethesda published it. My fault.
Exactly. And so I'm going through it and I'm liking it because I obviously Fallout 3, huge game. We all loved Fallout 3.
Yeah.
And
that is an accurate statement.
I wanted to really get into Fallout New Vegas because I just love everything that Fallout does. Everything from start to finish. Love what they do. But it was just unplayable at first, and I was even on the 360. And I know the PS3 version's rough, but I saw it used. It was the Ultimate Edition, all the DLC. I'm like, there's got to be some updates that make that game better. And yes and no, because I've had to find a little weird workaround that I've never had to do for a console video game ever before. But it gets to a point, like after 2 or 3 hours of playing straight, like, it just gets clunky. I'm talking, like, maybe, like, 2 frames a second. It's like, it's a slideshow, and it's unplayable. Mm-hmm. So you have to, like, mash the start button to get to the main menu so you can quit. And even when you load back up, it may not. It's like, the longer it runs, the worse it gets. So after a while, after you hit about the 10-hour mark, it consistently does it. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm just not playing this game anymore. I'm enjoying it. I like what they're doing. I like the faction system. It takes what they did with Fallout 3 and made it much more interesting. So I had to do this work around just trying a couple of things out, and you have to like delete the game data and then reinstall it and do the updates again, and then do that for another 10 hours, and once it gets unplayable again, re-delete it, reinstall it again. So it's kind of clunky, but the game is sort of worth it. And I know, and it's so funny because a lot of people love Fallout, but I don't know very many people who've beaten or even gotten far in New Vegas just because of the technical. It's really good. I'm enjoying it. So, my mandatory Madden.
Well, maybe you'll have a chance to buy that on your PS4 or Xbox One one day.
Yeah, I know. You never know. It might,
foreshadowing
that graphic boost that it's always needed.
Yeah.
Mandatory Maddens after the NFL draft. I always
so
kick
playing
in
that a lot yesterday. Well, yesterday, the day before.
I'm playing it every day, Jeff. So it's
yes,
like
I saw you on for a long time one night. It was probably about 3 hours or 4 hours.
Right.
Straight,
yeah.
You were on that.
I like my Madden. That's no surprise. And the last thing I talk about is probably the biggest game to talk about this week. Transistor.
Yes.
So yeah. Our friends.
I think we're all
at,
talking about that.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. So our friends at Supergiant Games, I believe it was all three of us who interviewed Greg Kasavin from Supergiant.
I fucking totally forgot about that.
Yeah, yep. That was it was like 2 weeks, a week or two before Bastion came out, and we got to speak with those guys. It was, frankly, one of my personal favorite interviews we've ever done.
Oh, yeah, he's
an
awesome guy, too.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And I beat it. And
you beat it? I have a question for
you. Okay.
Without spoiling anything.
Does it get better?
No. I want to know how far I am, because I think I'm getting close to the end, but I don't really know. And without spoiling anything, the second time you ride the motorcycle back to wherever, is that close to the end?
Yeah, you're getting close. The game's only about 5 hours long. I think I beat it in around 4.5, 5.
Okay, I was going to say, I think I'm about 3.5 right now, or around 3.5, 4. I was just wondering. Okay,
so,
as you were.
So the first thing that you're going to do, and have we all played well, obviously, Jeff,
Bastion.
You have. Chris, you playing Transistor?
Yes.
Okay, so.
I've only played about an hour of it, though. An hour and a half.
That's good to know. Well, you're almost done. So, so the first thing that everybody's going to do, because the first people that are going to buy Transistor are obviously fans of
yes.
Supergiant and fans of Bastion. And it's impossible to, at the very beginning, immediately start comparing. I try to go in with a clear head and say,
yeah.
This is its own game. It's its own thing, but it's hard not to draw your comparisons. And when you first glance, yes, there's some serious comparisons there. And then, of course, when the game breaks off into more of that Parasite Eve-ish type of combat
yeah,
system, which is
totally.
Great. I mean, the combat system...
It's fun.
I love it. It's damn near perfect.
I love it.
It's damn near perfect. I didn't realize that... It's not just how you do the combat. It's the arsenal of skills that you have at the ready that makes it so fun. But what I wasn't prepared for was that, cause I didn't read any reviews going into it. I was such a fan of this team that I wanted to just go into it fresh. Like I knew the basic storyline and that was it. So the one thing I didn't notice when I started leveling up all my skills was that not only are you placing skills to, you know, fight, like this one is a ranged attack. This is a close up attack with a, you know, high backstab damage and stuff, but you also have sub-skills that are basically attached to your skills that add different things. And
yeah.
Every skill does something different to that. So you're constantly...
Active skill, passive skill, and upgrades.
Yeah, and then, yeah, you start unlocking passives, which then these other skills that you've been using for a couple of hours do something completely different for your character.
Yeah.
And the mixing and matching was like, I got to the point where I would stop playing it. Now, every time I would hit one of those little, I guess those little, you know, skill kiosks where you can reset everything.
Oh, yeah, the access points.
I just kept on like
changing them.
Changing over and over and over again. By the time I was like half, I would say about 75% through, I had my set core skills.
Yeah, I think there's one combo I'm using now, I've been using for the last hour, that just seems really, really good. And I have not switched it out yet.
Yeah.
Even when I've gotten new powers. Like, I use the crash. Or I use the, okay. I don't know exactly what they're called. But I basically put down, I do the thing, you know, okay, for people listening. You can play the entire game in real-time combat. You have basically each function or attack is put to a face button. And then you can just play that way. But the game's meant to be played is if you hit the right trigger, it'll go into like a, it freezes time. And then you can, move your character around, have them do whatever, and then you pull the left trigger and it'll have your character put it in real time and do those moves. You have a meter that goes down where you're doing that, of course, so you can't just abuse it. But, what I'd do is I'd use the thing that you put it down, and it put down these packets of explosions.
Right.
And I put that down, then do the crash, like hopefully backstab, like it's basically the first skill you get. And then immediately I put out the spark, but one of my alterations of the spark is, it knocks the enemies up. So
yes.
Basically it makes it so you knock the packet like kind of far away.
That's
and
the
when spark
the,
hits.
That's the red skill. It's like an explosion type skill that shoots everybody up. That's very useful.
Yeah. Yes. It's really cool. So it shoots the enemy right on top of the packet right before it explodes and it takes out a lot of things in like one combo. It's like ever since I've done that, I've been like, oh, I'm going to stick with this for a while.
Do you use the dodge a lot? Do you use the dodge
button? I always have vault on there.
Okay, always have vault going on.
Yeah, vault is like a necessity.
One of the best things, and once I experimented nonstop with this game, and mm-hmm. one of the things, once I had this combination, I just have one skill assist on my vault, and it is, I don't remember the name of it, but the picture of it looks like a flying robot. Basically, it's the one that sends out the dog.
Oh, yeah.
If it's your main.
Yep.
So
and
that,
it makes the, what does that do again for vault?
It does, for vault, it actually, when you vault where you first stood, it,
leaves somebody.
Yeah, it actually leaves
a
copy.
A clone.
It leaves a clone of you, and it is one of the most, easily the most useful,
it is
tools.
Really good for that.
It's excellent. Once I had that equipped and I saw how useful it was, that's what I use till the end of the game.
And like, the dogs. Down. Yeah, the dog one you're talking about where you can summon like this dog to fight for you. There's another thing you can put on like a, I want to call it like, you just put one of the other functions there to upgrade it where it puts down two dogs. Mm-hmm. That's really freaking helpful.
The like, two dogs are super helpful. Yeah, they're real powerful. The bark skill is really good for them.
But then it's like, what do you do? It's like, but that's good, but that function, that attack or whatever the hell you want to call it, when you put that into another skill, it's so good.
Yeah.
So it's like, you kind of have to really kind of, like you said, experiment and kind of find it.
Everything
kind of
makes
you.
Sense. I never said, okay, well, this is just a bad combination. I never said that, but I always said, okay, well, I'm not used to this. I see where this is useful, but nothing's ever a bad combination. At least I never felt that way.
No. I just found more powerful ones, but never anything that's really bad. It's like, depends on how you want to play the game, really.
Exactly. So it was really good. So the expectations were high for me. Going in Bastion, that's why I really wanted to like kind of like not focus on Transistor as much so I can go in as fresh as possible. But you know, I gotta say I do enjoy Bastion a little bit better. Just because I had no expectations. We didn't know anything about these guys, and it just the game just came out and just blew us away. And but just every single bit except for the combat. I mean obviously the combat is just far surpassing what Bastion ever did. But like, I just couldn't get past the fact that I didn't enjoy the music as well. Darren Korb's.
Oh, I love the music.
Darren Korb's score for Transistor is fantastic. I have already bought the soundtrack. It is really, really good, but it's lacking the whimsy that Bastion had. I understand it's a whole nother tone that they're going for, and that's good, but there's something missing. I guess what made Bastion's soundtrack so great, it had like kind of like an Eastern flair to some of the stuff. And that's missing. And that kind of killed it for me for the music. It's still great. There's some of the songs on there, especially the final song. Once you beat the game, the final song is during the credit sequence, and especially what happens during the credit sequence at the same time, is one of the best songs that Supergiant Games has ever put together, period. It is really, really good.
I actually really like the music and how they did it in this one. I like how
the music's good.
Hold down the left trigger and have her hum with all the stage music.
Yeah,
yes,
I like
that's
pretty
cool.
Cool.
Now, don't get me wrong. I do
I
like
know,
the
yeah,
music.
You're not saying it's bad.
It's just,
and I love how they transition to that when you go into your turn. You know, I'm wondering about how they transition to that humming. And I think it's very fitting for the environment, you know, and it's like, especially when you go into that, because as soon as I hit it and I start hearing that humming and I'm in like in turn mode, and it just kind of brings me into it, and it's like all of a sudden I'm focused on exactly what I'm doing, and I'm you know it for some reason I don't know what it's just making me be much more aware of Red's surroundings, you know, and it's I don't know how to explain it. It's just that the music just triggers that, and the humming just triggers that, and,
right?
You know, it's just it's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, the visuals are.
Oh, it's really gorgeous.
Good. Yeah, the animation is fantastic. I was especially impressed when they first start telling you like the backstory of Red and the sword, and like she's in her that evening gown. You know what I'm talking about? And
yes,
she's walking around in that evening gown. And I was like, look at all the animation on this fucking thing. And I was really impressed by that, and it was just gorgeous.
I mean, you can definitely tell Supergiant Games has grown just as a development studio. It's so much more polished up. I mean, I can say that I like Bastion better, but Transistor is a way more polished game than Bastion.
I think it's
is.
More impressive to like for someone who hasn't played either of them.
It's gorgeous. I was actually questioning why it's gonna be out on the PS4 only as a timed exclusive. Like I just feel like the install base is bigger, but I do think the game.
I think
game,
it's gonna come to everything eventually. They're just a small studio.
Yeah, it will come out to everything for sure. But the little small things, like the way she drags the transistor on the ground as she walks because it's so heavy. And then not only
transistor
it,
is the sword thing, by the way.
Yes, the transistor is the sword,
and
not
which
only
the
does
whole
it
game
spark,
is...
but it also like spreads these glyphs on the ground. And I was just messing again, doing the game dev thing where you're kind of just like toying around and messing around. That's why I don't like it as much as Bastion.
Nah, because there you
me.
Go.
It just hit me. God damn it.
Why? Because of the circuitry
I was
that happened.
I was critiquing it so much.
Yeah. No, that would make sense. Yeah.
That would make sense, right?
Yeah, I think I kind of with like I really like Transistor so far. I do not do like I know you can you pick up the story because the storyline is very vague in this game. We could probably do like a spoiler cast or something. Because even if we try to do a spoiler show right now without even saying spoilers, I probably wouldn't even know what the fuck is really going on because I'd just be talking out of my ass. Mainly because the way the exposition of the story is, it's mostly to do with the functions you get, the skills you pick up are actual people. And to view their backstory, you have to equip them to the different slots and different, like, the passive, active, and, upgrade things to get their whole backstory. And I'm just not into that kind of thing. I don't know what it is. So I have not really followed any much of the storyline. All I know is your singer named Red, you lost your voice, some dude stepped in front when this dude was throwing the fucking transistor at you, killed him, and he basically became the voice of the sword. And like Bastion, the sword is kind of narrating. He's not really narrating while you're playing. He's talking to Red, basically.
He's talking to Red about the surroundings. That's really
exactly
what it is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they throw a lot of tidbits. Yeah, if you're counting on Transistor does the job it needs to do to tell a subtle story, and it all. I mean, obviously, it'll come full circle at the end once you see how the game ends, and it's super fitting. And honestly, there is, in my opinion, no other way the game could close out than the way it does close out. So it does come back around, and it does get more plot heavy toward the end. They do make you earn it, but once you start getting more explanations, more people talking to you
through the main actual storyline.
Exactly. Now, and another cool thing that they dangle the story carrot in front of your face, because all of the storyline of people that lived in this world to get deeper information about the game is all unlocked by, you know, experimenting with your skills. You have to like put all your skills in
on,
passive
yeah,
slots and active slots, and that unlock. And actually, you do have to go into a fight. You can't just lock it up, walk around.
No, you actually have to do something with it.
You have to do at least one fight, and you have to use the skill. And once you do that, because they start off encrypted, and it unlocks the information files, and you can read more information about characters you meet, even some characters you never meet in the game. So they do dangle the story carrot in front of your face a little bit, just to, you know, make you experiment, which they didn't have to do that. I would have experimented anyway. So, but great game, really great game.
If I were to pick one or the other, I'd probably pick Bastion right now. I'm guessing by the next time we record, I'll definitely have Transistor beat. Just because, and the main reason is because Bastion was more of a, I'm more of an action. Like, I like the combat mechanics in Transistor, but I prefer real time over.
And the,
even though it's not turn based at all, really.
And the idea of, with Bastion, to its credit, the idea of having different weapons and experimenting with different is more appealing than just having different powers with the same weapon.
Yeah.
I like the idea that I can go, you know, katana and double guns, and then swap to a hammer and a rifle. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that
cool.
a lot. So,
and I haven't done a lot of the challenges either. I did like the first introductory ones, and that's pretty much it. But I am looking forward to, because if I'm almost done it, I probably will try to play through it at least another half probably, because I know the game plus will be cool when you actually have everything opened, and that'd be kind of fun to mess around with. And see what you can do.
Yeah, and the enemies scale to you, so you're constantly leveling up a lot faster too.
Exactly.
But
cool.
I'd
recommend it. It's $20, right?
Yeah, $20.
Yeah. Worth it.
I think it's worth it. I mean, yeah. A lot of some people complaining that's $20, not $15, but I think it's for $20. It's a lot better than some other games that are $40 and $60 out there. So
totally worth it. Was Bastion when that came out? Do you remember if that
Bastion,
was 15 or 20?
It was 15.
It was 15. I think so too. Yeah. So, but that is that's it for me, guys. Jeff, anything else for you?
Not really. Some more Titanfalls. That's like happens all the time. Some more Trials. Jason's not here, but Jason, you might want to go back and check on some of your scores, buddy. You're not number one anymore. Actually, you are in some of them. Just some of them I beat.
Well, some of his scores are pretty easy, but
yeah,
there's a couple of scores that I'm like, I'll never, ever. That's not gonna happen.
Yeah. There's a few. Are you playing him on PS4 or Xbox?
PS4,
One?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's moved to the Xbox One since then.
Okay.
So it's been, yeah, I was like, I'm not going to get involved in this whole score chase thing. And then I booted up the other day. I'm like, ooh, I see he's beaten some of my scores. And I kind of started from the very beginning and just kind of, I think I cleared, beat all the scores in the first section, so I'm now moving on to the second section. But it gets harder at that point, so. That's right, Jason. Eat a dick.
Eat a giant dick.
Eat a big, giant, steamy balls. What was I going to say? Yeah, Transistor we talked about. Played some more Lego Marvel, which is still real fun. I was having the itch to buy a Wii U because the whole Mario Kart 7 or Kart 8 coming out.
Jeff, if you buy a Wii U for Mario Kart, I'll give you my Super Nintendo for Mario Kart if you want it.
You what?
I'll give you my Super Nintendo for Mario Kart if you want it that bad.
Dude, well, I love Mario Kart. But then I just went out and bought Mario Kart 7 for 3DS, and I think I got my Mario Kart fix.
There you go.
It's a really good game.
There you go.
It took me long enough to play it, but it's really good. It's one of the better Mario Karts I've played.
It's
a
really
lot better
good.
Than the Wii one, the Wii version.
Yeah, yes. The Wii version kind of, oh man, the Wii version is horrible.
Yeah, it's really good. I like it, and it's, I fucking binge played that on the weekend, like here, like pretty much whenever I had a spare second, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go through this. I did all the Mushroom Cup or the 50cc, all the 100cc, and I'm halfway through the 150cc. So I'm almost done. Good times. And that's about it. That's all I really played. Transistor took up the most amount of my time.
Hey, real quick, can I interject one thing?
All 4 hours of it.
That oddly worked. Okay, so, you know, all PlayStation Now problems aside, I do have to mention this. So my wife and I were in North Carolina. We had drove a little bit and stayed with some friends for the Bastille concert. And while we were there, I got onto their Wi-Fi and I had my Vita with me. And I was like, well, you know what? My PlayStation's on standby. I tried it and that actually worked surprisingly well. A little bit of button latency, but I was actually on my Madden while I was on my Vita.
My biggest 3 hours with away. That isn't the lag. It's the how dark games look on the Vita.
I didn't have that. I was playing in the dark, though,
so
I didn't see that issue.
I've only really tried it with Tomb Raider and Infamous Second Son, and I couldn't, like, the screen was just too dark overall. I'm like, but the lagginess wasn't really there for me. So, but then again, I was literally right beside my PS4.
Yeah, so it was just funny that worked better for me than PlayStation Now did.
Yeah,
but I just wanted to have that. It's if you have the ability to use that function, use it. It's if it works, it's really fun. So, but Chris. Take it away, my man.
I really don't have much to add. Transistor, and I really didn't have a whole lot of time to play games this week, but it was Transistor and more Child of Light, and that's pretty much it. So Child of Light, got a little bit further. I think I'm getting closer to the end, but I think I'm maybe two-thirds of the way through. And then Transistor came out, and I played it for about an hour and a half yesterday, and that was pretty much it. So I really don't have much to add. So all we right. can move on to news.
Well, let's zip through news and
let's
take
do
a
that.
Break. Half-Life 3.
That's a thing,
apparently,
maybe.
That's still a thing.
Is it
apparently
a thing?
The creator of Counter-Strike is saying it is definitely in development.
All right.
And I decided to put that in news because it's the first kind of thing we've heard about Half-Life 3 in years. And at this point, it's going to take a shitload for that game to live up to the hype.
That is true.
That game's
got
to be like the messiah
that
of all video games.
That is true. You are very correct about that, sir.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Do we even care anymore, though?
That's a thing. I honestly don't. I don't.
I just, when a game, like, I don't know, man. I just don't get into that. Like, after, like, a 4 year threshold has passed, I'm just like, okay.
Oh,
well,
and it's
whatever.
Past that. Exactly.
I got
it's
other shit
like,
to do.
Other stuff has come out that's got your attention and been like, this is actually pretty cool. And Half-Life is no longer like that thing. So, I want to see it. I want to believe it. And I will probably be excited when it's actually announced.
Yeah,
sure,
the hype will build when you get closer to it.
Yeah. PS4. Sony has come out and said that actually the hardware of the PS4 is actually profitable already only after like 6 months of release.
And that
is
some impressive shit right there because that's like Nintendo level timing of being able to be profitable.
Yep.
You know? So, good on them.
Nintendo-level timing. The only thing that scares me with these consoles being profitable so fast is it really shows you how the technical jump is not as big as they were last year.
Right. I disagree. Sense. And the reason I disagree is because it's not necessarily the reason. The reasoning is not that it's cheaper. It's not because the technical jump isn't much. It's because they're using common computer components, and it's easier for them to put shit together. So
that's true.
Yes, you may or may not think that it's as big of a jump from like from 3 to 4 as it was from 2 to 3, but it's more of a situation where the components are just cheaper because they're using an 8086 hardware and that kind of thing. So You know, I think that's more of the moral here, because I know that before it came out, we were talking about on a forum, we were talking about what we thought the price would be, and I threw out the price $400, and this is like, mm-hmm. you know, when they originally announced the specs and everything like that, and I was like, $400, mm-hmm. that's what I'm saying. And you know, a bunch of people called bullshit. And I was like, well, you know, here's how I came to that. And I basically built a PC that had, you know, the same type of specs, you know, outside of the RAM being DDR3 rather than DDR5. It was the same specs, and it was $700 retail. And I'm like, okay, so, and this is like a year before the system came out. And so I'm saying $700 retail. First of all, realize that they're going to buy things in bulk and they're going to have reduced costs on all of these things. And then look at the way they did the PS3 and see how willing they were to lose $300 on the PS3 on each one they sold. And I can see $400 working. So, you know, being that you could actually build one retail for $700,
they lost that much when they sold it for $700.
I know. Well, they sold it for the $500 one, they were losing $300 on. The $600 one, they were losing like $200 and something on. But the moral of the story ended up being that because they can buy in bulk and because the components are common, it's not surprising to me that they are already profitable. So.
Well, they need it, and it's a good thing.
They do need it because Sony is not doing too hot.
No. I think PlayStation's the only profitable part of their company right now, actually.
Yeah, wasn't the game division doing pretty well, but Sony overall, they were the ones that
No, we didn't really talk about it, but they've lost over like billions of dollars the past couple years.
So, that must suck though, because, you know, these Sony guys have come out and said that, hey, look, we're gonna take pay cuts, we're not getting bonuses, but yet they have to come out.
They have to come out,
you know, a couple of weeks later and say, but PlayStation's making money per console, guys. How about that? And it's like, that's shitty bullshit.
Oh, they gotta show their investors that at least
corporate posturing.
Yeah,
one part of their organization is profitable. They just their TV stuff's overpriced. Their computer stuff never really took off, and they just, I don't know. They need to do something, but hey, you know what? I don't think we'd care if they just kind of dissolved. The rest of the company just became PlayStation. That's what Sony was. Because I don't know how much brand loyalty there is outside of PlayStation. I don't know.
Aren't they jumping out of phones?
I think they might be. They're jumping out of the PC for sure.
Okay, they're going out of
PC.
They're
not doing that anymore.
I don't think they're jumping out of phones. I think they just took Sony Ericsson and they dissolved it into Sony.
Okay.
So
they're still going to do phones. It's just not Sony Ericsson anymore. It's just Sony.
Okay.
But they did dissolve PCs, I believe.
Yeah, they're not doing the PC stuff anymore.
So VAIO is gone.
And I think they should redesign their TV strategy, because that's, I think, a big part of what kind of got them in the hole in the first place.
Do you guys remember Mitsubishi did TVs before?
Yeah,
you know,
they
still have some.
Do they still do that?
I think so, yeah. I've had two Mitsubishi TVs. They're actually really good projection TVs. But yeah, they still do some. They still do them.
That's crazy.
Well, there you go. So that's profitable, which is a far cry from last generation, where it took years for both consoles to become profitable.
That's true, yeah.
This is only 6 months in.
And speaking of Far Cry,
they got this Far Cry. That was last week.
I see what you did there, though. That was good.
Yeah. That would have been
that
awesome.
Was infinitely better than any transition that Jeff has ever made on this show.
Yep.
Even if we were not doing that story right now.
The Xbox One June update is coming in June, surprisingly. It's going to bring finally the external storage. You can hook up external hard drives. You're going to let you add real names to your gamer tags just like you can on the PS4.
Very cool.
And finally, the one I'm most excited for is you can finally reallocate your fucking pins on the dashboard.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's
I know
cool.
that was one of the things that you guys were really stressing about.
It was just stupid. And it's just like, it just kind of randomly throws them out there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, eh. But I think you can only do it through smart glass, which is kind of stupid. At least that's how they demoed it. I'm not sure if that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to do it via controller and everything. This is the exciting time. A month into getting a console, I always tell myself, you know, I could do, because there's not very many games out. Yeah. I always tell myself, you know, I do this every single time getting a game console day one of release, and I always say, I can wait. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There are no must-have games. There are no hardly ever any killer apps day one. But this is the exciting time when you're about, you know, 5, 6, 7 months into a console's life cycle, and you start getting those releases, those updates. And every update is exciting for like, what, 1 or 2 years. Like every update is like, what are we going to get now?
Pretty cool.
So this is some of my favorite parts about, you know, a new generation starting up. I love the feeling.
They're going
to
add
of,
names.
Oh yes! My God, we got names. Can I upload my streaming to YouTube? No.
No.
Yeah, neither of them can do that yet.
Well, August.
Actually,
that's probably going to come really soon.
Technically, the PS4 can do that, just not directly from the PS4.
Not directly.
Yeah, because now with the new studio, you can download it and upload it wherever you want. So.
That's pretty cool. Yep. That's pretty cool. But with the Twitch being purchased by YouTube, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was the rumor, right? Is that gone through?
I'm pretty sure it's true. Yeah, I don't think it's a rumor. Okay.
I think it's going to happen, but if it hasn't already, but we can pretty much guarantee we're going to go ahead and get. People can watch me play Madden on the reg with ads. How about that? That sounds
horrible.
That sounds pretty bad, right?
Yep. Not horrible. Star Wars Episode 7.
Yes.
The writer for that is actually Michael McWhirter. And for those who don't remember him, he was like a game journalist involved in like game development stuff like back in the day. And then he ended up writing a Book of Eli. I think he wrote After Earth as well. He wrote a couple of episodes of Walking Dead, the video game. He's actually writing the Star Wars Episode 7 script, which is pretty awesome, I think. He knows his shit. And in the nerdy ways. So, it's not really huge news for people that don't know who the fuck he is, but I think the script is in good hands. Let's put it that way.
Chris, you excited about that Star Wars, man? I know, you're like the Star Wars guy out of us.
I am very excited, especially knowing that George Lucas does not have as many hands
to do
in the
with
pot
it.
Here. I was pretty stoked to see that they're bringing back all the original cast, kind of like a handoff, it seems. So
yeah.
I'm interested to see how they do that
and
planning with Luke and that kind of thing. So
they're bringing back actual special effects, not CG stuff too. They're having both.
Yep.
Like the prosthetic stuff. What's that called?
The puppeteer.
Prosthetic, puppeteering, animatronic, and stuff like that.
Yeah, animatronics.
All those are involved in what I'm trying to think of, but it's not the word I'm looking for. That's something. Retron 5. We've talked about it on the show a bunch.
I am so sad that I did not buy it on Amazon when I had the opportunity.
When it was like $100.
Yeah.
Now it's like $150. Release date's June 6th. They have started shipping. They just put on Twitter today actually a picture of one of the guys in a front of a big truck with a bunch of them in there being shipped. So that's kind of cool.
So this is the new retro console, correct? What's the hype about this? I've been hearing people talk about it.
It upscales. It has HDMI.
Oh,
and has a bunch of filters on it. So you can just put it to an HD TV. And it actually is supposed to look pretty good. Like, you know how most 8-bit, 16-bit games look like ass when you put it through an HDMI.
Yes.
This apparently does look through it. Actually looks pretty good. Apparently, a lot of people are like some previews I've read on like IGN say it actually does a good job of actually making it still look like it's kind of on a CRT.
What is it?
On HDMI.
What cartridges does it play?
Super Nintendo, Nintendo, Genesis, Mega Drive, Super Famicom, Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Color.
Really?
Yep.
It's almost like everything, dude.
How much is this giant?
$140.
It's $150, I think. $140 or $150.
That's not bad. I mean, look at what the Neo Geo X cost. The handheld alone was, well, I'm going to tell you what. They actually, at one of the GameStop conferences, they had it set up to play. And I didn't hate it, but when they said it was $100. Oh, great. $100 for the whole thing. No, the handheld console is $100. If you want the whole set, I'm like, okay, never mind. Lost me.
Yeah, expensive.
When they tell you all it is emulators on a Linux box, pretty much.
It's not even a portable Linux box. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dumb. Also dumb. Well, maybe not dumb. Metro Redux has been announced for Xbox One and PS4 and PC.
Now, what is this?
That is the Metro game. So Metro Last Light and Metro 2033 are going to be brought out for those consoles and PC with a higher res graphics, 60 frames per second, some more better lighting effects, more better. That's great English.
More better.
Some improved lighting effects and stuff. It's gonna sell for $50 for both, or $25 per one if you want to, like, I guess, download one or the other. So that's coming in the fall.
So that's aggravating, right? I mean,
I would say that's kind of aggravating. I did buy Tomb Raider Remastered or whatever the fuck it was called, Definitive Edition.
There's a difference though. Like, okay, Tomb Raider is a beautiful game on the PS3. The up-res was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. I get The Last of Us. I get that coming. I can understand it. It just came out. Let's make it look even better. Put it on PS4. Guess what? I'm going to buy it. They can have my money. That's going to happen. Okay. This was Metro 2033. Do we know off the top of our heads just like the date that came out?
Like, I want to say like 2010.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
I'm trying to look on Wikipedia real quick.
I know you were on the show when that came out, because I remember you played it.
Okay, so it was at least 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So
I want to say 2011, 2010.
So, okay, now a three-year game? Come on, that's a little ridiculous.
Last Light's relatively new. That was just last year.
Last Light's relatively new, yeah. But, you know, what's next? You know, are we going to get the PS4 versions of Saints Row 1 and 2?
Why is that surprising? I mean, look what they did with, like, they were releasing remastered versions of PS2 games for the entire life cycle of the PS3.
To me, it's an excuse to try to put more discs on shelves say, hey, this is how many PS4 games we have on the market. And they're going to come out at E3 and say, right now we have this many PS4 titles. I'm sorry. Yeah. I understand it's an up-res. It's not a fucking PS4 title.
Would you consider Last of Us to be a PS4 title?
No. Yeah. It is a minor graphical upgrade to a PS3 title.
And on the same subject, the last one here is a rumor, but I wouldn't be surprised is true. I kind of think it might not be just because they have a brand new game coming out in the fall. There's a rumor Call of Duty Modern Warfare Collection. So it'll be Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3. Same kind of thing. Who knows?
Yeah. I love Call of Duty, and I think it's unnecessary.
It's totally unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
Because especially if it is just an up-res, because I played Call of Duty Ghosts on the Xbox One and some on PS4, and that all that really much is an up-res anyway of the 360 and PS3 versions. And if they're just going to do that with the other games, no thank you. I have more and save it, but I think we should probably revisit this maybe as a question of the week for next week. So... Travis, you have anything else to say? Say it, because unless you're back next week, you won't be able to. But I'm gonna save the rest of my thoughts in this whole thing.
Save it all. I don't want to be angry.
Okay.
Send us an angry email.
Exactly. Hey, there you go. I'll do that for you guys.
Big hint. Our question of the week next week will probably have something to do with this whole re-releasing of stuff.
We've already done one, but I'll have.
To we have, but I think it's time to revisit it because now it's just getting.
Wait a minute. Are we re-releasing? A old question of the week.
No, we're not re-releasing. We're remaking. That's different.
Yeah.
We're up-resing the conversation. No,
we're completely redoing the conversation.
Call it what you want. You're re-releasing.
It is a remake of the conversation. Not a remix.
A redux.
Or a redux. All right.
Anyway, that's the news.
All right. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk about genre fatigue, and then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a good question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Good. It's time to wake up.
We'll be right back. And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Yeah.
Have you missed that, Travis? Hey.
Someone was going to say it.
Have you missed that, Travis? Have you missed hearing that?
I do miss that a lot. Yeah, I bet. Hey. Yes.
I bet you do. All right. So today we were talking about genre fatigue, and we got a after a month and a week of this question of the week being out there, we got a whopping 2 emails.
King's
That's
ransom.
What happens. We don't put it out regularly. Just saying.
I know.
You would think I'm editing the show. Right?
What's that?
It sounds like I'm editing the show. The show like never comes out.
I actually had no word of a lie. Super Nintendo ad. Life as a Gamer.
Right.
He actually messaged me on Twitter being like, hey, if you want, I can start editing the show for you guys because no one else is going to do it.
Hey, he could be the new Indus Pro.
That's right. Indus Pro. Yes.
All right. Let's start with the emails. This one is from Sniper Maverick, and he says, yo, dudes, Sniper here. Do I get burnt out on any genres of games or play one too much? Well, first of all, I'm only going to refer to the games I play and not bitch about other genres that I don't care for. Good idea.
Makes sense.
I do find myself taking more time to complete open world games than I used to. Sorry, there was a line break in there. I've had Assassin's Creed 4 since the launch of the X-Bone, and just this week finally finished the main story. My first thought for why it took me so long was my gamer ADD. New system, new games, want to try it all. But as time goes by, I actually find myself just not being able to dedicate as much time into long games as I used to. I'll have those urges to really put a bunch of hours into a game like AC4, but then after a few days, I'll just put it back on hold and go back to playing shorter games in spurts. I even sacrificed Dead Rising 3 on to the Demon Gods right. GameStop. and I actually liked it, but I never felt like playing it. I would also say I play first-person shooter games too much, but honestly, those are my favorite, especially playing online with friends and cool people. Obviously, there are times when the game itself gets burnt out for a little bit, or for good, but with the right dudes, you can always have a good time. Cool question, guys. True that. Take it easy, Sniper.
Thank you, Sniper.
So he brings up one of mine, and okay. I'm going to throw this out there. Just like in general, most open world games, I kind of feel that fatigue sometimes. But I have to wonder though, because I don't know if it's all open world games or if it's just Assassin's Creed. Like Assassin's Creed, it's like I played the first one, and then a few years went by and I played, you know, the second one came out and I didn't play it right away. And then I bought the second one and I played through the second one. And then I wasn't interested in any of the other games until 4. And 4 looked interesting because it was just like, it just looked like it was mindless fun and they were getting away from the convoluted story and all this other stuff. And I played Creed 4. And then now I'm just like, I'm satisfied with that particular series for a while, I think.
In all honesty though, AC4 is a little bit, it plays like Assassin's Creed, but the fact that you sailed everywhere, it did kind of change things. So it did make it more like I had to make myself go through 3. I had to force myself to beat 3 because I was just not, like, the sailing was the best part. It wasn't crucial. You didn't have to do it. In 4, you have to do it. So, it made it a more enjoyable experience and it kept me in. Like, I beat that game very, very quickly because of it. But Chris, my question to you is it open world in general? Or is it... Is it third person open world? Because I feel like if Fallout 4 came out tomorrow, you would be all about
that. I don't put that in the same category.
You put it.
Yes, it is
RPG?
Open world, but it's an RPG. Yeah, it's more of an RPG. I don't even put it with first person shooters. So that takes a different identity to me. For the most part, commonly known among listeners, if you've listened for a while, I'm really not a fan of open world games unless there's some interesting way to traverse the open world.
That's true. Yes.
And Assassin's Creed has that.
Agreed.
Not only does it have the parkour stuff, which is, overall less interesting in my opinion in this particular game, but it has the sailing, and they did the sailing so well and the actual combat in the boats so well that was what was fun to me. It's like when I was like, oh, I have to go back out to sea. Let's go blow shit up. I mean, that's how I played that game. But like Grand Theft Auto, I'm not interested. But Infamous, oh yeah, I love getting around that city and like all the different powers and stuff like that. The original Crackdown 2, not so much.
Oh, I played that last week. I forgot to mention that.
The original Crackdown?
Doesn't really hold up.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, really? It doesn't?
No.
You just want to play Saints Row 4.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all.
See,
you
I haven't
do.
Played that or yet, but I know that that's, you know, Chris. Because of the changes that they made to Saints Row 4, I know I will enjoy that more than I enjoyed 3.
Chris,
even though
to,
I thought 3 was fun.
You really need to play that game. You really do.
I have it on Steam. Okay. I know, I have it on Steam. I need to play it. I know. But yeah, I mean, so the open world thing, I can definitely see that, as a thing. And it's like, and to be honest with you, even Infamous, because after I finished Infamous Second Son, I was like, man, I feel like I want some more Infamous. And I tried to go back to Infamous, the downloadable title that's on PS3.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, all right, more Infamous. And I played it for like an hour and like, all right, I'm done. Good to go. So, you know, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's, I mean, it could have been the subject matter because it's like, oh, look, he's a vampire. Who cares? But, you know, it's, you know, who knows? But, yeah, I could definitely, get behind that particular.
Yeah. It makes me wonder about Watch Dogs, though. It really does.
Like, yeah, no,
there is no compelling traversal in that game.
I'm hoping that the cool tech is going to keep me interested.
Yes.
But I am prepared. I am aware that it is very possible that I'm going to play it for like, that it's going to be Grand Theft Auto 4 all over again. And it's like, oh man, this game is great. And I'm going to get like 10 hours into it and be just like, done.
Mm-hmm. 10 hours.
Well, I played Grand Theft Auto 4 for about 8 hours before I was like finished.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So.
All right.
That'll be interesting.
All right. You guys want to hear the second email?
Sure.
Yeah.
This one is from Sean Recupido.
Hey,
he says, games come out few and far between enough that I don't get fatigued of a particular genre. Unlike movies where a new one comes out every week, that just feels like a variation of other movies. Even games like COD or Assassin's Creed don't feel fatigued because at the most they come out once a year. On the other hand, it feels like there is a high Marvel movie every month. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what I was saying there. On the other hand, it feels like there is a Marvel movie every month. I think the closest thing to fatigue for me is FPS apathy at the moment. I'm not because I'm bored of FPS, but because there's just other shit I'd rather play. But if Halo came out right now, I might have to break down and buy an X-Bone just to play it. And that is from Sean
Recupido.
He's kind of right. It does seem like there's a new Marvel movie, like,
but
especially
but
lately.
a movie is different. A movie. It's a 2.5 hour at the most experience.
Yeah,
a video game is a 40 to anywhere in between
it can,
8
it could be anywhere between
hours.
10 8
so,
to 10 to 40 hours.
Yeah, especially with the game. Well, the yearly games though. Those are the ones.
Oh, the big
that,
ones. Gotcha.
Yeah, the ones that come out every year. And those, I think those are two different. I'm going to go ahead and pull the open world slash RPG veto in this one because I just don't feel that it's a good comparison. So I don't agree there, but I mean, even, you know, this is kind of going into my final thoughts a little bit, but like one of my main things is online gaming, period. Like unless I'm playing with somebody that I know who's online that we can jump into right away.
Yeah.
Unless it's that, I just have no. I can't tell you the last time I even attempted matchmaking anything
by yourself.
Anything, yeah, by myself or with anyone peer. I haven't been playing very many online games with anybody. Period. But it's like I'm not saying we played
Titanfall, but that was long. I guess that was in March.
But that was beta. We played that
was
the
beta.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't. Like, I understand where he's coming from, but I don't know. Like, some things are just so, like, overdone and overtried. So, like, it's not just a yearly thing. So I'll play Call of Duty. I'll play Assassin's Creed. I'll play these games every year just because I do enjoy them. for what they're worth. But
that's every year though. Do you ever like overload on something and just get burnt out on it? Like fighting games for me, for instance, like a few years ago, well, I played every fighting game. It didn't matter what the fuck it was. It's like I had to have like Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom, Mortal Kombat, Injustice, MVC 2 when that came on Xbox, like Live, Street Fighter HD Remix.
I was there with you guys when everything kicked up. It was around Street Fighter 4 time. I mean, that was around the time where I was just meeting Chris and Jason face to face. And
yeah.
I jumped in, you know, head first with them in these games. And we all played Street Fighter up until Super Street Fighter, at least for me, up until Super Street Fighter 4. Then it started to get a little still for me. So yeah, but I think the problem was not the iterations of the games. It's just that we were all getting together and playing it nonstop. If we all hung out, locally, we were either playing Rock Band or playing Street Fighter.
Or Street Fighter. One of the two.
Yeah. It was one of the two, and that's what we were doing. And so, yeah, I did get burnt out a little bit. I think Chris was a little bit after me. And
no, I'd say he was probably before you.
You think?
I think.
No, I was after him, actually.
I think you were after, because I stopped a little bit after Super.
Well, Chris has never played with us online, I don't think.
That is true. Well, I mean, I did. Well, honestly, I didn't play. So yeah, maybe you were after me then, because I didn't even get Super.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
I have vanilla Street Fighter 4, and that's it.
Did you play Scrub Sport back in the day? Does anybody remember?
I played one Scrub Sport. I did one Scrub Sport.
Those were the good old days, man. That first season was dope.
That was so good.
That was such a good time.
Best fighting game match I ever had. Me and Jeff in the playoffs.
That's right. Yeah. At Scott's, was it?
No, it was online.
Yeah, it was on.
Oh, we played at Scott's. At Scott's, you kicked my ass. And that was one of the regular ones. And then when we were in the bracket, you and I played in the bracket, and we
online.
It was online. Yeah.
That's right.
Those were the good old days, right there. That Scrub Sport. Yeah, I don't mean to reminisce, but that was
that was a good time. Scrub Sport season 1, season 2 was amazing, and then we realized that it's like the people outside of A and S tier and some B just kind of gave up on it, and it became a fucking pain in the ass to get their matches.
The goal overall with Scrub Sport was to expand it to not just, at the time, VG Evo people. Jason wanted to get the big guns to join this and do these online competitions, and it's sad. It was such a great idea, and I just think that everybody was so busy with, like, because everybody who built that was all in podcasts, you know, so they were making podcasts, they were raising families, they were working, you know, 40 hours a week, so it was very hard to maintain that. But
guys, people just did not show up for matches, because Scrub Sport 2, we had way more people, and we had the tiering system because it got too hard to keep track, and then people had to do was, you know, call up for, anyway, this is going back, but just, you know, make their matches. I think that's the same thing with every online tournament thing anywhere. Right. You know when a sports game comes out, like you play Madden, have you ever joined like an online league? Like, and everyone's like, yeah, let's do this. We're going to play an entire season. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then everyone's kind of like, eh.
It's hard to commit to like something online like that. It really is. That's why I stopped Final Fantasy 14. Like I had to, because it was the only time, first time and only time that I'll ever like get to in game, max out my level cap and everything, hit the level cap and do all that. But by the time you're there, you have to have a clan. And I just, these guys are like so hardcore, like deep hardcore, like you fuck up, they're screaming at you, yelling at you. Like these guys are like to the core, they're kind of scary, to be honest with you. Like the people who are so deep into these like online clans. And I just could not deal with that. Like it was like work. It was like I had a job. People were trying to schedule me for raids and instances. And I'm like, no, I don't want to forced to do this.
Yeah.
Like, what if I have
Excuse me, Travis. We need our wizard. We're doing the 25-person raid, and you are not here. Please message me back. Thank you.
If you were in my clan, you would definitely know that I was a Dark Knight foo.
No.
Oh, by the way, if you're going to main a character in Final Fantasy XIV, don't do a Dark Knight, because no one wants you in there in their end game. Nobody. They don't do that much damage compared to any other classes, so no one brings the Dark Knight. So if you want to get all your epic loot, you can't get it, because no one will add you.
Good to know.
It's a great game, though.
I played it in the beta. It was a lot of fun. I think I played probably about 8 hours of it, and, you know, I got to the point where I realized I just don't really want to play an MMO right now. So, but it was fun when I played.
Yeah,
so,
good save.
They, I mean, vast improvement over what we originally saw at E3 when we went back in 2010. Ah, God, the game was horrendous then.
Final Fantasy Redux.
Yeah. Back on topic with the fighting game thing. It's I think it's only happened really to with two genres that I've like kind of got fatigued. Fighting games, I think it's kind of getting there. I have no enthusiasm for Ultra Street Fighter 4 at all right now. Like pretty much zero. I think I just played too many of them, and I'm just like to the point where I'm like, no, I'm just ready for the new ones. Like, bring out Street Fighter 5. Killer Instinct is cool, but there's not even close to the amount of people playing Killer Instinct as there was. Well, because not too many people have Xbox Ones from the VGEvo community, so there's only like Jason, me, Sniper, a couple other people. And then, first-person shooters. I got burnt out on those for a while. Last gen, I think, around the time when, like, or shooters in general. There's like Halo 3, Resistance 1, 2, Gears of War 1 and 2, what else have we, Call of Duty's fucking 2, 3, 4, Modern Warfare 2, everything. And I went through a good year where I just didn't want to touch a first-person shooter. Just I was like, eh, I don't care.
Yeah.
I
can see that, definitely. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, it seems like it's kind of like hater age for me to say first-person shooters, but I do play them, but it's just few and far between. It's like, you know, I played, I played Titanfall, and I loved Titanfall.
But
I'm done with it right now. But
that's not. I wouldn't say that anything right now should ever give you fatigue, though. It's more of a preference, like a taste and preference.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like, yeah.
That's true.
Like I never got fatigue off of role playing games or strategy role playing games.
Yeah.
They're just not.
You just don't
for
like
me.
Them.
Yeah.
They're just. I'm like you, Chris. Like I like them. They intrigue me. I give them a shot. But I'm just so bad at them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're so bad at first shooter. I'm just saying like I am just.
No, I am so bad at first
shooter. I build my characters terribly. And I just do things wrong because I didn't really play them a lot when I was younger, so I don't understand the minutiae with everything and how to play the games. So I asking like I didn't even know what the fucking min-maxing was, so I asked Scott Sauer about it. Like,
oh, really?
It was a few years ago now. Everything's a fucking big blur. But I didn't know what the hell that was because I just was that guy who wanted to put points in everything. Like, yeah, you shouldn't do that. So I'm just not good at them. So I'm like, I like them. Like, what's that game called that you really liked? You played a bazillion times. It was that Sega joint.
Fantasy Star?
I played a billion times.
Valkyria Chronicles?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Like, I really liked that at the beginning of it. And then when it actually got hard, and I just did shit all wrong, like, I can't do it.
So, yeah, I could see that. Valkyria Chronicles is a challenging game. It really is.
But if you know what you're doing, it might not be that bad. So, whereas for the shooter with me,
like,
you had a bunch of problems with Titanfall at the beginning, and I didn't have any of the issues you had.
Right.
Because I guess I was kind of just used to it. But I went away from first-person shooters for a while. I totally got burnt out on them. But the same way is I get into that phase where I want to play a bunch of the same kind of shit. And like character action games like Devil May Cry DMC and Metal Gear came out around the same time.
Oh, Rising.
Those.
Yeah.
And
Rising.
Then I was like, you know what? Yeah, this reminds me of other games.
See,
so I went back
to
Bayonetta
one.
Again.
That's a big one. Character action games for me. It was
really,
you know, yeah. I can definitely get fatigued on those. So yep, it's like I still haven't finished DMC. I haven't even played Metal Gear Rising.
Yeah,
you know,
and I'm
kind of burnt out on them. You know, after God of War, 3.
Ascension.
Oh, yeah. 3. I didn't even play Ascension. I have Ascension
Don't
sitting
bother.
On my shelf. I got it for like $12.
Yeah, I never. So, I got my Ascension cheap too.
I mean,
never got never
War,
put
dude,
it in.
Ascension's decent, but it's just a big, like, after you play 3 and a bunch of other character action games.
How'd that go
after
again?
3.
Okay, cool. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like that was actually that's actually a box quote.
Yeah, that shit.
I think I've seen that before. I've seen that one.
Jeff Mitta says.
It's in general, it's like, you know, character action games. I mean, if one came out that was, it's even Castlevania, like Lords of Shadow. I didn't finish it. You know, I played probably about 6 hours of it, and
one?
I just got, no, the second one.
Oh, second one.
I just got burned out of it. The first one I finished.
Oh, so you didn't beat the second one.
No, I didn't beat the second one.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't buy it, because at that point, I was probably like, I'm kind of done with character action games for a while.
Yeah.
And I didn't even bother. And I really liked the first one a lot.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, I don't know. Yeah, it definitely happened.
And the combat is still a lot of fun on the second one, too. I mean, it's great. Mm-hmm. It's great combat. You know, but, you know, I just, I think I got wrapped up in something else and I just haven't gone back to it because it just wasn't pulling me in all that much.
I hear it.
But, so what about genres that you don't get fatigued on?
I don't think there is one because I have that binge thing, the binge consuming thing. It's just like when I got my racing wheel, I bought a shitload of racing games. And then after about 3 months, I didn't want to touch a racing game for like another 6 months.
Yeah, I hear you.
So it just kind of happens.
I'm, I'm really that way with racing games too, though. I actually haven't played a racing game like in depth since Gran Turismo.
Well, I guarantee you'll play Drive Club.
I will play Drive Club. Yes.
You know, it's PS4. So.
Yeah. Well, it's also something new. PS Plus for free. So
yeah, you can't beat that. You know.
So I'll end up getting that and giving it a shot. And if I really like it, then I'll probably actually buy the disc. But, one that I was going to say is like, Metroidvania games. A lot of times, if it's, as long as it's a good game, I can easily continue to play those.
Right.
You know, I don't really get fatigued out on those. I think that's like the only one that really, you know, that really could keep me interested. Possibly like the Phantasy Star Online games, but there are so few like that. I mean, you could say like Monster Hunter's like that, but it's really not because it doesn't have the same like leveling.
I do not like Monster Hunter at all, and I love Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you have to, you know, people say that Phantasy Star Online and Phantasy Star Universe is a grind. Monster Hunter is much more of a grind. So, Yeah, I think that's probably about the only ones that I could continue to play without getting very fatigued.
All right. So that's, shit happens, basically.
Yeah, the big one for me, obviously, would be football. Football?
That's true, yeah. You just
I play that. There's maybe sometimes 1 or 2 months in between, you know, I'll take a break and, you know, maybe like a couple of AAA releases.
That game, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, I play it ad nauseum. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm on my, like, 12th season on my created character.
Jesus
Madden.
Christ.
Oh, yeah,
dude.
That's crazy.
I've never maxed out 20 seasons. I would like to try that, but...
Is that what it is, 20 seasons?
I haven't gone through a single season of NBA 2K in any of them, or NBA
really?
Live. I always start them, and I think the first I got was, like, 36 games. So
yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm done.
I've won, like, 6 Super Bowls.
Jesus.
I'm really good.
Yeah, really? Are you doing like as the my player, like you just control the one player?
I do the my player, yeah. I usually play as a running back or a quarterback.
Nice.
So, but yeah, football's a big one. I do like to change it up a lot, like kind of like how Jeff was doing, like you just kind of mix and match your genres and it's hard to get fatigue in between there. On the specific type of game route, it's the military style first person shooters do get a little old, but it's majority. Yeah. I like the storyline. I like playing the storylines because they do a good job at some really entertaining set pieces that you want to get through and continue on. So I've always just enjoyed that with Call of Duty, but like the online play, really what you spend your $60 on, the online play, it just doesn't do it for me anymore. Like
you
I just,
gotta go with a good group of people because that was the same way I was before. Like,
and we've
four,
had
five,
we've,
6 months ago,
we've had good experiences with that with Battlefield and stuff like that. We never stuck with it. So
no, Titanfall is the first person shooter in a long time where I've regularly played like once every couple days with like usually the same group of people, and it hasn't even got close to boring yet.
That's cool. That's cool. So and then,
but if it wasn't for that, I would not be playing it probably anymore.
That's true. But that's it for me. Football, yeah.
Bowls.
Cool. All right, is that wrapped up?
I think so, yeah. I think everyone kind of gets it.
Yeah, I do want to say one quick little funny aside, because one thing they did add in Madden that I just discovered like deep into playing this game, it just happened a few months ago, but you get a Twitter feed, and like you get news in between the games so you can like catch up what other teams are doing in the league. So the Jacksonville Jaguars sold their football team. This actually happened in the game randomly. The Jacksonville Jaguars sold their team to Toronto, and the game named them the Toronto Mounties.
Are you serious?
That is an NFL football team.
That's
in my game.
Pretty funny.
So I did want to bring that up when I talked to you. So
that's pretty hilarious.
So yes, please, let's
that's
carry
awesome.
On. Let us carry on.
I want to see that happen now. Florida has enough fucking teams. Send one up to Toronto. Oh, shit. That's awesome. All right. Well, let's do some new releases then.
Yeah.
So coming out next week is Watch Dogs
for
PS3, 360,
finally.
PC, PS4, and Xbone. Sly Cooper Collection is coming out for the Vita. Mind Zero is also coming for the Vita. Ace Combat Infinity is hitting PSN, for PS3, I should say. Monster Monpiece is hitting the Vita on PlayStation Network. Mega Man Extreme 2 is coming for 3DS. Gravity Badgers.
Gravity Badgers.
Gravity Badgers.
Gravity Badgers.
Day one.
A high quality title coming out on the Wii U next week.
Okay, now I'm getting a Wii U.
And Mario Kart 8 also hits next week. So, pick of the week.
I'm going with Watch Dogs just because I'm already pot committed. And I mean, come on, that's one of the first next gen or current gen games ever announced and shown. So.
Yeah. Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs is.
Yeah, I'm going to say Watch Dogs, or if you have a Wii U, get Mario Kart 8. So. Or,
what is it? Cranky Badgers?
Overall.
What is that?
Gravity Badgers.
Crabby Badgers? Yeah.
Crabby
Gravity
Badgers.
Mario Kart 8, because that almost bought me a fucking Wii U. I almost got a Wii U for that, so.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
So here's something I thought was interesting. So, you know, the list that I use for new releases, they add stuff to it as they go through the week. So when I'm actually doing it, it's not all of the releases, right? Well, last week's list got updated, and one of the games on there is The Witcher 2. And that's all fine and good. But the interesting part about that is that it's actually been released for Linux, which I think is really cool. And I'm hoping to see more games hitting Linux because, you know, I think that's going to be good for when they actually start releasing things for SteamOS.
Yes.
So that's kind of why I wanted to bring that up. Anytime you see something released for Linux, that means that, that's another game that SteamOS gets its hands on. So good on that. Good on that.
Definitely.
But, that's it for new releases. So do we have any Indus questions?
We got one, but let's like save it up and get a little bit of a.
All right. Well, we don't have any regular emails either, or voicemails, so.
Okay, then.
I guess people thought we stopped recording the podcast, maybe? I don't know.
And this is done.
Yeah, they're done. Those
dude,
assholes.
Those people thinking that, we've been done years ago. You just have
That's true. That's true.
Yeah,
that's
ever
true.
Since I left, it was just over.
It was over, downhill from there.
We have a select few that stick with us, but that's it. But, all right, cool.
Thanks,
well,
Mom.
Jeff, why don't you go into the new question of the week?
Yeah, so we went into the whole thing with all these. I know we've talked about the whole HD remakes and stuff, but that was back when it was like years into last gen. It was kind of like cool to see these games come back with like HD. But now they're kind of starting out this generation that way with all these quote unquote HD remakes and redos and reduxes and remakes and all this stuff. And I just wonder what people think about that because there's no backwards compatibility right now for either console. And this seems like a very expensive way to get that. And I think developers and publishers are kind of cluing into that, especially at the beginning of an early console cycle.
Yeah.
And kind of capitalizing on it. I just wonder what people think. Is this going a little bit too far when, like, already games that have just been out for, like, a year or, like, a couple years are already getting remastered versions done, especially when, like, something like Tomb Raider was $60? It wasn't, like, $30. It was $60. I'm
yeah.
guessing when Last of Us comes out, I'm guessing that's going to be 60 as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
I would imagine.
I just wonder what people think about that. So it's not necessarily a direct question. It's what are your thoughts on these early ass re-releases on the next gen consoles?
Yeah.
Right. That we're all probably going to buy anyway.
To answer that question of the week, you can send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's like Leap, but it's not.
You are correct.
And that.
You can get us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast or Indus Questions. Send those in. We really like those. You can get us individually. We are Indus Chris, Unistrike, and Indus Geoff.
That's G-E-O-F-F.
Travis, you are the Travis Bomb.
Geoff. Oh, yes. The Travis Bomb.
The Travis Bomb.
I'm the
B-A-U-M.
Travis.
I am Baum. The Travis Baum.
B-A-U-M.
This is, I put that down there as to state a fact.
Yes.
Because that I am, in fact, the Travis Baum.
Because someone had already taken Travis Baum.
I did, but that was a wrong Twitter account, and I couldn't find my password, so, yeah, I'm not bullshitting you, that's exactly what happened.
That's pretty funny.
I had to make up something else.
Check us out on Facebook, Google+, Steam, and Stitcher, just search for Interactive Distractions, and you will find us, and if you are on, and come over to Retroids, and join the community, and start a conversation with us, we'd love it. And that is what I've got. You guys have anything before we cool. wrap up and get out of here?
No.
Me neither. Nope. So thank you guys for
Travis,
listening.
Good luck. Let us keep us updated on your game, by the way.
Yeah, we're gonna have some absolutely. More official screenshots running through. You guys actually got to
where
see
can
a
people
little...
follow that on if they want to like check for updates. And
stuff. You can search for Palmetto Game Studios on Facebook. On Facebook, you can also go to the Derelicts page. Just type in The Derelict, and we should be one of the few things that pop up there. You can hit thederelictgame.com, all one word. You can hit Palmetto Game Studios, all one word, and it's all .coms. We paid the big bucks for that, yeah. And, so those are the four places that you can check it out and everything. But cool. if I'm pretty sure if you listen to this, you most likely at least 75% of you follow me on Twitter, so you'll get that information ad nauseum nonstop. Yeah, so.
I'm Jeff, thank you. I was actually like in the mode that we were just going to continue because it's Travis on the show. And it's like, Travis isn't on the show anymore. So,
yeah.
so it kind of caught me by surprise.
He's not
I'm like, what do you do?
He's
oh,
like
wait, that's right. He doesn't do this anymore. So, cool. Well, yeah, Travis, thank you for joining us on such short notice. We basically, we basically called him up at like, oh, wait, I gotta see what time we got the email from
like
Jason now that we're talking about it.
Like
7?
It was something like that. It was really, really late. Let me see.
Yeah, it was late. I had a couple of hours to figure out what I was gonna tell my wife I was doing tonight.
3 hours ago. 7:36 is when we got the email from Jason that said basically, by the way, I'm not doing the show. By the way, we start at 9, so he gave us an hour and a half.
Travis got back really quick.
Time.
I'm like, hey, dude, you up for recording time? He's like, yeah, I want to talk some Transistor.
Oh, yeah.
Travis. It's
good call. But, so thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zoom. No, we don't do Zoom anymore. Stitcher. If you're on iTunes or Stitcher, please do
Harlock still has
it. And make sure you leave it 5 stars because you're awesome. If you leave 1 star, Jeff, they're dicks.
They're dicks.
Dicks.
Or he's being honest, one or the other.
Yeah, probably be. Cool. Well, until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
Peace.